Hello, Mystery Creators. It's Mike Ryan. Thank you so much for taking the time out to listen to our weird little podcast here on the Levitard and Friends Network. Mystery Crate, it's a bizarre one. I can't lie. There's no real theme to this. One week it's an interview, the next week it's a recap of MTV's The Challenge. Everybody in the shipping container, really everybody in the Levitard and Friends universe, including Dan and Stu, have an occasional voice on this podcast. It's really made for the diehard Levitard show listener, and we hope we are not disappointing. And as an added bonus, I have good news. Major Mystery Crate announcement. Guys, we are going to start churning out more episodes of Mystery Crate for you. We figured during a pandemic, maybe your listening habits have changed. Whereas you usually had a workout or a longer commute that you could dedicate the time to listening to Mystery Crate and it might have fit perfectly for you. We understand, hey, I might not have as much time on a Stairmaster or in my car. I have a walk with a dog. I have a neighborhood jog. I am listening to this presently on the toilet. So we want to cater to you. Shorter episodes to cater to a new normal, perhaps. Just a beta test. We're going to see how this rolls. For this week's episode, Andy Ganjo, a slugger for Tampa, a big fan favorite over there. He's been on our show a couple of times. Dare I say a friend of the show. He's been displaying some kind of bizarre behavior on social media this week. It's one of the main talking points. He's a newsmaker a bit, and since we had this relationship, I DM'd Andy to see if he could join us and just sort of explain what's going on. Not that we were overly concerned with him, it just seemed a little weird for Andy, who is a bit of a hard partier and fun personality, and I'm not really sure how to describe what happened, but it was certainly unexpected given what we know about Andy, given what the audience knows about Andy. Really stunned Dan to hear Andy in this manner. And I think it's going to be worth your time. Interesting. I would describe this as an awakening for Andy Ganjo. You be the judge here on Mystery Crate. Here is Tampa fan favorite Andy Ganjo.
All right, if you listen to this show every day, you know that we like to find the interesting people, the thinkers, the guys that, whether or not they're great, great, great at sports, top of the food chain, superstars or not, as long as they're interesting, we love to talk to them. So Andy Ganjo, as many of you know, or some of you know at least, has been on with us in the past. He's an outfielder for Tampa, and he's always been an interesting guy to talk to. He's nicknamed Manster, part man, part party monster, and you guys know that these people aren't allowed in baseball. Colorful personalities. You know, he's got a giant beard. He braids his beard. He plays in a heavy metal band. He plays bass, Viking Home Invasion. So he's told us these things before because he's a bit of an eccentric. And so we enjoy talking to the eccentrics. But recently, during the quarantine, and I don't know whether he's alone or with somebody, his social media activity has been a little bit strange. Like one of his most recent tweets was, "What if there was no baseball? What if we turned these monstrous stadiums into parks where people could go to be naked and think about life? Would we miss baseball at all, or would we realize baseball is a way to miss our true selves?" He had a Facebook post a few days ago. "It's time to strip away our lies. It's time to remove all masks." And then another thing that he did, and I don't know where he's going with this stuff, on Instagram, he had a quote from, a philosopher or a writer, "But truly, I have wept too much. The dawns are heartbreaking. Every moon is atrocious and every sun bitter." So Andy Ganjo joins us now with that as the precursor. Thank you for being on with us. And I guess I'd ask you, like I've asked some of our guests recently, how are you doing? Because it sounds like you've been super introspective.
How am I doing? I'm scared. I'm excited. I'm questioning. I've been angry. I feel reborn. I feel, I don't know if currently you want to connect with me and know what's going on with me, or is that a prompt for me, like if I was a tap dancer, are you asking me, please tap dance? I have some people
well,
here.
Well, I understand. I understand what you're doing here. I'm just interested in talking to you during a difficult time about the things that you're interested in talking about. I don't know whether, how long have you been alone and are you alone? Is there anyone around you? Because I'm legitimately concerned about some of the things you're posting. Is this something you want to talk about or you don't want to talk about that?
I'm willing to talk about anything as long as I'm convinced that the conversation is legitimate and it's not part of a narrative. I listened to your intro. I don't blame you. Every bit of it is bullshit. The manster and my beard, the band, everything. It was a story I came up with. There was some legitimate beginning to it. You know, who knows what it was, the beatings, the masturbatory fantasies, the intellectual curiosities that weren't encouraged. I don't know what, there was some legitimacy, some stimulus I responded to. And at a certain point, I found some way to formalize that as this creation that I presented to the world. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I didn't know what you're saying when you said the beatings. I don't know what you're talking about there.
Not, I don't want to traffic in that. I don't want to fascinate people with that. I'll say this simply. There were beatings.
Okay. You're going to leave that there. Okay. I mean,
we can do that, but just tell me if that's what you want to do.
I want to have a real conversation.
If you want to provide a pornographic experience for the audience, I agreed to be on this. I'll play by the rules. If you want to get into that.
Look, Andy,
I'll bring up belts. I'll bring up shoes. I'll bring up dog cages. I'll do the whole thing. You know, just tell me.
But yes, I want an honest conversation.
Let me know what's going on.
Forgive me for interrupting you. I want an honest conversation, but it can be both
things.
That's
all I want anymore in my life. That's what I want.
All right. I'd like to have the honest conversation, but what I'm telling you is I'm also interested in good radio content. I'm not going to put it in a drawer. I want to talk to you about where you are in your life right now as an outfielder.
I want to talk about that too.
All right. Tell me about the cages then.
Okay. I'm going to calm down. I'll see where this goes. Just responding. My dad had a dog cage and it wasn't a whole terrible thing. I'm not going to make it bigger than it was, but if I misbehave, he put me in there. And to know I was contrite, he would say, you whimper like a dog. That's what a dog does. If you're going to misbehave like a dog, then you let me know you're sorry the way a dog. So I couldn't tell him, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry I disappointed you. He'd say, no, you were acting like a misbehaved animal. So if you want to let me know you're sorry, you whimper. And I'd whimper. He'd let me out of the cage. That led to me, by conventional measures of success, to a magnificent life. Magnificent. You know, doing cocaine off the small, you know, of a woman's back, just having unbelievable amount of sex. Again, part of a narrative. I don't even know how much of the sex I had I was interested in. But, you know, it was a great story to tell myself, you know, and that I – you know, you talked about me in baseball, being an outsider. That was what I trafficked in. There was no pain in that. I was rewarded for that.
But you built that character, the beard, the heavy metal band. Like, these are not things that you often find in baseball. It's not like you were hiding from them while you were selling them to us.
Explain that.
We know you as an eccentric character, as a guy in Tampa who doesn't mind showing us some personality. And here you're now telling us that's all a contrivance. It's all BS.
Let me just disabuse you of that. I deceived you. You say didn't mind showing you as though there was any bit of vulnerability in there. I gave nothing of myself. I don't think I've ever laughed legitimately in my life. If you said that to someone that knows me, that went out to the clubs with me, they said, what are you talking about? That's almost, you laugh constantly. It was mirthless. It was an indicator that I loved the inanity that I was involved in. Life is too short. It's time to be real. That's why I shaved the beard. Jesus.
You shaved the beard? You shaved it?
Yeah.
When did you do that? Why'd you do that?
Because it was ridiculous. There's nothing wrong. A beard could be fantastic. But if you're wearing it like a t-shirt that says intellectual, or a t-shirt that says family man, or a t-shirt that said that, you would think, what are you doing? It was part of a story. I feel now, since I've been alone here with my own thoughts, I look at my life that I thought was so vibrant and primal, that I wasn't conventional, that I was following my instincts. It exhausts me to think of the energy I spent propping up that creation. Oh my
wow.
God.
So you're coming out of this quarantine as a different person. Where are you now? Are you okay? Like, is this, when you say reborn, excited, scared, like, where are you right now emotionally?
For the first time in my life, I'm not anywhere, because no one ever is, are they? I mean, I'm now actually responding to the stimulus around me. On the simplest level, we have something in common with an organism that recoils from light or is attracted by heat. But what I did on the field, I raised my pulse, my adrenaline went through the roof. It made me feel alive. Now I realize that was available to me everywhere in the world at every waking second of my life. Yet I only allowed myself to live on artificial grass while being observed by tens of thousands to millions of people. And it just seems so meaningless now.
And so you're questioning the worth of whether to continue doing this? You're questioning your identity?
I'm out. That's not a question anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't participate in this. I can't go on a field again.
Well, what's happened? Explain this to me, Andy. I mean, we've been in quarantine for 6 weeks. You're quitting baseball. You just signed a 3-year, $20 million contract. You're quitting baseball right now. You're telling, because you haven't announced that. I haven't read that anywhere.
Isn't it funny? So your shock is very interesting to me, that as part of your inability to comprehend what's happening, an important element of that was the $20 million. Why does that come into it? Because you recognize on some level that the sport wouldn't exist, my love of it wouldn't exist, if it wasn't for commerce. You said it. You brought up the $20 million. Why is that part of your fascination that I would walk away from? I understand it. I've been there. I would have thought this in the past. Currently, who in God's name cares about $20 million over the next 3 years if you're not alive? Currently, I'm like someone on house arrest. You would think I've never been less free in my life. Yet I am thinking of myself in relationship to the universe, not as part of a group of men who chase and catch a small white ball and swat at it with a wooden stick.
Andy, are you doing drugs right now? You had mentioned cocaine off of the backs of ladies. Are you doing drugs right now? Because some of the things that you're saying are probably not things that you want publicly consumed.
I'll tell you now, I did so much cocaine, hallucinogens. I have before a game had 3 cases of beer, and that excited me. It was so in keeping with this image of myself. Why? Because my image was, I'm the rugged individual. No athlete would do that. Look at me, though. In answer to your question, am I currently on any drugs? No. My God, who needs to be? You know why people do drugs? Because they're so dead. It's so unnecessary. Oh my God, I don't need anything to stimulate me. The world is fascinating. The universe is limitless. My interests were so limited. It was to have sex that humiliated other people. That excited me. That was something I pursued a lot. Drug use, violence. My ego had created this persona, and anything that reinforced the constituent elements of that persona, I convinced myself were pleasurable. So I was about to punch a man in the face. Unbelievable. By the way, when I say that the sex I had with people would often be humiliating to them.
I was going to ask you a follow-up there. I was going to say, what were you getting out of having sex with people that was humiliating to them?
Well, first of all, I want to say this, although I don't feel the need to protect myself. If it was true, I'd tell you if it hurt them. It didn't. It was a contract. You know, these were groupies, and that played into their narrative. It excited them. What did I get out of it? It's hard to put myself in that frame of mind. that I was a superstar, I suppose. You know, look at what someone's willing to endure, I suppose, and that makes you think, my gosh, the average person couldn't treat a human being this way. I guess that was what it was. I don't know.
Can you explain to me what it is you've discovered about yourself? Because it sounds like there's some enlightenment going on here, and it sounds like you don't think it's temporary.
We all understand, okay, the myth of Milo. He carries the calf up the hill every day to graze. The calf grows. He becomes stronger. We understand that our organism responds to stress, hermetic stress. Taking a cold shower or sitting in a sauna is good for your immune system. We thrive on stress, yet we have lost this current for anybody who's suffering from this. And it's most people are. I'm not. I'm rich. I'm privileged. At first, I thought I was suffering. I was cut off from what I thought I loved, the sex, the drugs, the violence, the false bravado I broadcast to the world, et cetera, et cetera. This stress is magnificent for us. I've been going on the internet, just thirsty, just gathering knowledge, just pursuing paths I didn't know I was interested in. And I discovered that when you ask someone in a tin roofed hut in a third world country, their perceived level of contentment, they're likely to give you an 8, a 1 out of 10, an 8. You ask someone from this country where the average person lives in what would be luxury for the rest of the world, and they will tell you that their perceived level of contentment is a 2.
So you've discovered that money doesn't matter, or you've discovered that America believes in the wrong things, or that baseball is telling the wrong story? That's what you're telling me you discovered?
All those things, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think everybody's doing this on some level. This is my world. This is what you have the misfortune. Unfortunately, you can keep doing your job. You're not getting this opportunity or this. No. I was made to sit there with myself and examine what I thought. You're still here. You're still doing this.
But Andy, it sounds like you've never examined any of this before. Like it sounds like just this quarantine is something that has forced you to look at yourself.
Yes. Fascinating, isn't it? I mean, I am retroactively, I'm mourning for my life. I was so convinced that I was blissfully happy. I was cackling like a hyena with my friends and high-fiving each other after I punched someone in the face or defecating on somebody's Lamborghini and just thinking that this was the most fun I'd ever had in my life. It wasn't. Take me away from how it supported the image of myself. What primitive human being? Let's go take a Lamborghini out to someone living out in the rainforest in Peru and let them shit on the Lamborghini and they will experience no joy from this. Yet I couldn't have been happier the night I did that because I showed that asshole what I thought of him. What's wrong with me? The saddest thing I can tell you is that there are more times that I took a shit on something out of rage or for revenge than I can remember. And people are going to would envy me? You envy me? That's what I made this many $1 million a year, and women ask me to sign their breasts so they can get the signature tattooed over. I had one woman, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to sign her breast. I said, I'll sign it if I can say, this is property of, and then I'll sign my name and you can get that tattooed. She said, yes. So I just sighed and said, here you go. Somewhere out there, to my shame as a woman, with one of her breasts identified as my property. Shame on me, shame on her, shame on humanity.
What can I've got some follow-ups here on both the violence and the shitting on the Lamborghinis as an act of rage. Like, what is happening there? Have you examined in this quarantine? Have you examined what the hell you were doing with all of your anger where your decision is to poop on things?
What? I don't know. Somehow I did it. I did it, and I didn't do it to cause myself pain. You know, I've come to this realization. I believe, and I think I stick by this, all people are at all times pursuing pleasure and avoiding pain. And I think that covers everything. I think a masochist, we know that guy's causing himself pain. No, he finds it pleasurable. This guy's ruined his life. The alcoholic, is he pursuing pleasure? Yeah, he is. Whatever your choice is.
Wait a minute. This is pleasure or avoiding pain? Which is pooping on things? Like, it's what?
It was both. Avoiding pain is, I was probably angry with the person. I thought they were more successful than me. So I need to protect myself from that. That's painful for me to acknowledge because I was a rich superstar who was idolized by certain people.
I think superstar is overstating it, Andy. Okay. Like, I don't mean to burst your bubble.
The old me would have told you to go f yourself, and I would have challenged you to a fight, and I would have waited outside for you, and I would have brought people with me, and I would have held you down on the ground because I could. I'm an athlete. And I would have held you down, and I would have challenged you to get up, and I would have spat on you, and I would have taken your pants off. And then I would have brought people around and I'd bring an indelible marker with me and I would tell the people that were with me to write messages on your ass. And then I'd tie you up to a post with a mirror on both sides of you so you could see the back of yourself and see what we had written. And then I would throw things at you and then I would call you up later and I would remind you of it. And if you wouldn't pick up on the phone, then I would post it on a website. And if you found out that website had that information and you didn't want to see it, I would pay someone to make a website that was something I knew you'd be interested in. So you would look at that website and so you would see those pictures. But that's crazy now. I would have relentlessly pursued you because that is so challenging. That was the most sacrosanct part of my identity was my skill at chasing a little white ball and hitting a little white ball and patting other grown men on the rear ends and spitting and running out and going through a ritual of celebration if a game was important. That was everything to me. And you just hit me in my former self's core. I had a fortress built around me. And if you would have tried to penetrate that fortress by daring to criticize my status as a player, I'm telling you, I would have, to kill you would not have been enough. I would have needed to humiliate you on an ongoing basis. It's hard for me because even now, my pulse is going up.
You go back there. I can feel it.
Well, I'm so excited about the thought of, and I'm not going to act on it because you know why I don't like that I'm feeling this way? Because you'd say, what? I thought you were good with like respond to stimulus because it's not really responding to a stimulus. Those are just words. Your opinion is garbage. It's nothing. You're a nobody, but there is this vestigial, sad, pathetic child of abuse who found a way to hide from his tears and the, whew, God, I want to, this part of me, the sick, diseased, sick part of me wants to humiliate you endlessly and make you regret your life because in the narrative, I'm a very primal person. I know I'm superior to you that way. Not a big thing. Who cares? We both were able to survive. Our ancestors passed on their genetics. But by the standards by which I judge myself, I was so superior to you. I am a physical specimen. That was part of what was the excitation in the cocaine and the barbiturates and the prescription pain relievers. And then playing at, I understand you're saying not superstar status, but an incredibly high. You and I both know it. Anybody who makes it to level of
yes, of course. Sports. No, I didn't mean it as an insult. I just mean superstar. Superstar was a little overstated. It was probably a quibble by me that was unnecessary. I've got a number of follow-up questions.
I don't want to go down a rabbit hole. Don't bring it up again because I can't. The weak part of me is going back there and I'm having these stupid thoughts about I'll take away this guy's self-respect, and I don't want to have those thoughts
anymore. All right, well, but we'll let you go on this note because I wanted to ask you about drinking three cases of beer before a game. That doesn't seem humanly possible. But appeal of the violence, you've mentioned a couple of times coming from an abused background. What is it about violence? What kinds of things were you doing? What were you partaking in? What was the pleasure in them?
Sorry that the pause is so long. I want to give you a legitimate answer because I feel terrible for anybody else that's caught in that unconscious trap like I was. And I want to give you a legitimate answer. Why do we pass on? Oh, I suppose I was made to feel disempowered as a child, and I never wanted to feel that.
Oh God. God. Oh, please. Oh, please. Please, please. Please. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm sorry, Andy. I'm sorry.
No. Don't be. Don't be. It's so much better. It's so much better. It's so much better.
Andy, I'm going to let you go. Should I let you go? I feel bad about what's just happened here, so no. I should let you go to gather yourself.
Isn't that crazy that right now you feel bad that I actually experienced a human emotion? That's the world we live in. You feel bad. You feel bad that I actually found something. I thank you. I know you care. I know you're being caring, but unfortunately, the way we care for each other to try to have, we pursue these lives. We want to have these lives where everything works out, where there's no stress, and we're not built for that. That's death. So don't feel bad for me. Don't feel bad for me. That's what my body, these tears that just ran down my face, the exhaustion I feel right now, I played sports my whole life. And I'm a highly conditioned athlete. I've never been as exhausted as I am right now I don't know. Anyway, it's
all right,
beautiful world, man.
All right, so healing, a little bit of healing there. An awkward way to end the interview, but a little bit of healing in the
beautiful
interview.
World. God bless you. I love you.
All right, thank you, Andy. One of the strangest interviews I've ever done, but very honest, very honest. So,
I love you.
Thank you for being on with us, Andy. We appreciate it.
Hey, I love you.
Love you too, buddy. I mean, I feel the need to say that back to you, even though we don't know each other well
enough. Oh, no, no, please don't. Please don't. No, you don't owe me anything, but I do. I love you. I love you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I hope you're okay, Andy. Thank you for being on with us.
I love you. Take care of yourself. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Well, that was a lot to process. Certainly a different Andy Ganjo than we're used to hearing from. I would say I hope he's okay, but it sounds as though he's better than he's ever been. Andy Ganjo, hopefully not the last time we hear from him. If he still wants to do media, I don't know. It seems as though he's had a bit of a metamorphosis. Hey, I want to tell you that the Mystery Crate is obviously brought to you by The Last Dance. That's who our sponsor is this week. You thought you could escape an ESPN property talking to you about The Last Dance. Well, no. That's what's paying the bills around these parts, and you guys are coming out in droves to watch it. And our coverage of The Last Dance is brought to you by State Farm. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Coverage is also brought to you by AT&T. Make sure to watch The Last Dance over the weekend. It's been awesome. It's lived up to the expectations. I would try to find ways to poke holes into anything that's popular just because I'm predisposed to do that stuff. And this is every bit as awesome as I promised. They delivered. The music's quite good too. So make sure to check out The Last Dance. And we're going to have another episode of Mystery Crate on Tuesday. How about that? That's right. More Mystery Crate coming your way. It seems as though you guys are enjoying the recent pivot. I see a couple people on the Reddit. I see a couple of mentions, but I want a more accurate sample. So please hit me up at Michael Ryan Ruiz. Let me know what you think of Mystery Crate, what suggestions you might have. If there's anything in particular you want to hear or hear from, let me know at Michael Ryan Ruiz. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.